Remember, the entrance of his word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. So let that understanding be to everyone here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's talk about worship for just a few minutes. Praise the Lord. Worship is a new and living way. Hallelujah. Worship is the way of the Spirit. That's right. Holy Spirit must bring us into worship. That's a way of life, not just on Sunday mornings, or 1 hour here, a few minutes there. You know, it's Jesus said the Father is seeking such to worship him. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him will worship him in the spirit. In spirit and in truth. Well, we are all spirit beings. This body that you see is nothing more than a casing. It's just a case. The real man is the spirit man. And we should renew our spirit daily in worshiping him. Well, that's the lifeline, the heartbeat of the spirit. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. When there is no true worship of the only living God, the spirit and the soul, they shrink and feel empty. There's an emptiness there, because the only thing that can fill it is the worship of the Father. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, we see a new and living way that the scripture prescribes. It's in, really, in worship. It's not just in empty sacrifices that mean nothing. You know, our sacrifice should be a sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. Sacrifice of worship. You know, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You have this boldness? You know, that boldness is something that God has given unto us through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no need anymore to come beggarly into his presence. We have been redeemed. We are his sons and daughters. We come by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, even as you see the day approaching. What is true worship? Worship from our heart and our spirit, and separating our worship, you know, from our pain, separating it from your, you know, struggles. That's on one side. But this right here, a life of worship, is what we must do. It's what the Lord is looking for. And never letting the devil think he got one over you and that you're not going to worship the Lord. See, all the things that the devil, the world, your mind, your flesh, your mistakes or whatever, they all conspire to derail you from a life of worship. But if you you make up your mind. I am determined to praise and worship the Lord always. Now, I'm not going to let any stones take my place, will you? Jesus said, and the Bible says, look, if you don't worship the Lord, then stones might immediately cry out. Well, no stone's going to take my place. I'm going to worship the Lord, the beauty of holiness. Many ways to worship the Lord. Worship Him, you know, with our praise. Worship Him with a life of integrity, you know. There was a man, you all know I love this man, called Enoch. You know, Enoch was a man that knew how to walk with God. Well, you ever wonder exactly what he was doing when he was walking with God? Yeah, what exactly was he doing? Well, you know, there was a time when the knowledge of God began to drift away from Adam's generations. You know, it just was drifting away. But one person chose to get closer and closer. You know, and, you know, he chose to walk with God. And his walk with God, let's see what it looked like. You know, because the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Genesis 5:22. After that, he begat Methuselah 300 years. So his walking with God was not 2 hours of one day a week. He walked with God for 300 years. 300 years. And the whole time, while he was walking with God, he was also a family man. He begat sons and daughters, Genesis 2:22. You know, and he walked with God. And all his days were 365 years. It's kind of also prophetic. You know, most years today in this hour type of calendar, 365 days, except for a leap year. And Enoch, you might think, for 365 years, as an example, a prophetic example of every day of the year we walk with God. Hallelujah. And God took him. Now, if God finds somebody who's going to walk with him in the spirit of worship, that person is not going to be very far away from God. God might just pull him in. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, Psalm 65 says, and he may dwell in thy, well, they used to call it courts and so forth. Well, we call it the presence of the Lord. You know, when you draw closer to him in worship, he'll draw closer to you as well. How does he do it? He pulls you in. Glory to God. We also worship him by keeping his commandments and doing his will. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14, verses 21 to 23, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know? And he said, well, he that loveth me, he that keepeth my commandments is he that loves me. And what will he do in return? You know, he said, I will come to you. I will love you. Now, there is a reciprocal kind of love. I often say it. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a love that's inspired, driven, you know, the love of God, driven by your worship. This is not John 3:16 love. John 3:16 love is for everybody. God loves everybody. In fact, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's the world. But to the man that loves the Lord, whom Jesus said in answer to one person's question of, you know, what might I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord said, well, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Yeah. Somebody that loves the Lord like that, you know, the Lord said, I will come to him. My Father and I will make our abode with him. As a separation. Jesus is not coming to everybody like that, but he's coming to the one that's walking in love of the Lord, a life of worship. You know, how do we worship him? We love him, yeah, with all our heart. Not some part of our heart, not 90%, not 95, not even 99. He wants 100%. Hallelujah. We choose God as our chief joy first, above everything else. Hallelujah. And we can't wait to get in his presence, to talk and walk with him. Glory to God. He said, our Father is seeking who will be worshiping him like that. So he's actually looking. See, he's looking. Always looking. And if he finds you, draw you in. Hallelujah. Now we want to get into the holy place and go beyond that and go into the holiest of holies. And in that relationship, well, you don't want to be going in and out. You want to dwell. Hallelujah. Dwell in his presence. And where is his presence? Well, where you are. That's where he is. Praise God. You know, say God has been our dwelling place. You know, from everlasting, we dwell in him and he dwells in us. You know, don't think of God as in some distant heaven. Sometimes we think about that. But Romans 10 tells us that, well, you know, when you're looking for a relationship with God, don't be saying who's going to go bring Christ up from the grave. He's no longer there. Don't be saying who's going to go bring him down from heaven. No, it's right there in your mouth, the word of faith. Same thing with your relationship. Right there where he is where we are. Glory to God. And where we are is where he is. One with him. That's a life of worship. To be one with him. Hallelujah. Just to be one with him. Jesus said in John 10 and 30, as an example of the relationship that the Father is seeking, he said, I and my Father are one. Glory to God. And if Jesus and the Father are one, well, then we must be one with the Father as well through the Holy Spirit. That's how we do it. As the Father was with Jesus, so is the Holy Spirit with us. For as he is, according to 1 John chapter 4 and 17, so are we in this world. Well, how was he? Well, you know, one thing we know about him was he said, you know, I am not alone. My Father who sent me is always with me, John 8 and 29, because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. And the Father loves the Son. And I committed all things into his hands. In fact, they are giving him commandment to give to as many, you know, as will come unto the Father, eternal life. That's right. Say, this commandment I've received of my Father. Now, the Father loves the Son loves the Father as well. No man knows the Father or the Son or the Son or the Father, but he to whom he will reveal him. And Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Matthew 11, 25. I thank you, O Father of glory, that it has pleased you to hide these things. Even these things we are talking about today is way of worship. hide it from the wise and the prudent, who go seeking after it by their own righteousness. But it has chosen, and it has pleased him to reveal it unto babes. And where is the place of worship? Well, where you are. It's not, your church building. It's not some altar or some mountain or some place. Jesus said, the time is coming and now is that the true worshipers, will worship God, not in some mountains. Some people say, in a mountain. Well, the woman said to Jesus, well, you guys say that you must go to the mountain and you must go to Jerusalem to worship God. Jesus said, well, yeah, it's true they say that, but the time is coming and now is. You don't need to go to the mountain. Worship God in the spirit. Now, consider your house where you live. Is the place that you have chosen as your family altar, is it holier than your bathroom? Is it holier than your kitchen? Is it holier than your backyard? No. As long as the presence of the Lord is there, that's the place that God has chosen to put his name there. Hallelujah. One time Moses, he had an encounter with God in Exodus chapter 3, first of such that he would have. And he said, I'm going to check this thing out, because he saw the field, the brush glowing with fire. It was like, and he expected that fire to be spreading and consuming the bush, just burning everything up. But it wasn't. It was just in that one place. And so he said, well, I got to check this thing out. So as he got closer, now Moses was on the backside of the desert, on Mount Horeb, the desert all around. There was bush, there was dirt, there was rubbish on the ground. there was all kinds of things. There might have been lizards crawling or whatever on the ground. And as he approached, the Lord said, this is holy ground. Well, why was it holy ground? It was bush and dirt and rubbish that was there. Well, that's what Moses saw. But God saw holy ground. See, that's the difference. Where he is, that's holy ground. Because our God is holy. He will never be in anything that's unholy. That's right. That means if you have the Holy Spirit, that's why it's called Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit cannot dwell in an unholy temple. It's impossible. If you have the Holy Spirit, except you don't. And who doesn't have the Holy Spirit? None of us. According to Romans chapter 8, it tells us, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, well, then he's none of his. But if you have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you, well, here's what he said. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, Romans 8:11, he that raised up Christ from the dead, even he shall quicken your mortal bodies. That's make you come alive. By the Spirit that dwelleth in you, where you are is where he is. And where he is holy. And he looked around and, at first, what he saw was bush and dirt, leaves and stuff on the ground. In one moment, that's it. The presence of God can change all of that to holy ground. Thank you, Jesus. Holy ground. Praise the Lord. And also, he tells me that, look, when the Lord comes into your life, It's no more about the dirt. It's no more about the rubbish. It's no more about, you know, whatever used to be. It's now holy ground. Glory to God. Because otherwise he wouldn't be there. Praise God. And so, you know, we ought to live up to the billing. We're now holy temples. And so Paul began to tell them, look, your body is now a temple of the Lord. Now, God does not dwell in temples made with hands. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? And where is the place of my rest? Huh? How are we going to build a house? You know, I mean, we got all these fancy buildings that we build today and call it the house of the Lord. It couldn't be any more the house of the Lord than your kitchen or your bathroom, your church building. And we have one too. And it's a really nice building. But it's not any holier than my car. It's just what people think in their heads. You know, when I'm in the car, the Holy Spirit is right there with me. Well, the presence of the Lord. I can worship. I can live my day. When I'm walking down the road, I'm worshiping because, you know, I'm living. I may not even be singing a song of worship. It's not about singing songs. It's about the life that we live. You know, I'm just a worshiper because, you know, that's who Father is looking for. And blessed is the man whom he has chosen. Has he chosen you? Well, I praise God he has chosen me. Well, I didn't choose him. He chose me. I couldn't even have chosen him because I didn't even know him like that, you know, but he chose me and, I will not frustrate the grace of God. He's chosen me. So I'm glad. Praise God. I take advantage of it. You know, and he didn't choose me, you know, just to be, you know, a yo-yo kind of person because he himself is not yo-yo. You know, Bible says that our God is not a yo-yo God. There's no variableness or shadow of turning within. There's no mood swings. It's not one day, you know, he's holy. Another day is something else. One day he feels like blessing you. Some other day he's not. One day he's moody. There's no such thing with our God. Yeah. So let's put away all of that. We've inherited the nature of our God now. Let's be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the worship of the Lord. Praise God. You know, and when men see you, Jesus said, well, they will see that light and they will give glory to your Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 5 and 16. Let your life of worship so stand out. It's not about singing songs. It's about the very life you live. Let it so sound. Singing songs can help. But the Bible says sing unto the Lord. And that's good. You know, but it's more than that. It's a life we live in him. Paul said, well, the life I live in him now, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. Now, to experience true worship, we've got to take his word as it is. One man came to Jesus and said, what might I do to walk the works of God? And Jesus said, these are the works of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. It's that simple. Now, if you don't believe his word, now Jesus is the word. That's whom he said. If you don't believe that word, forget it. You know, because the Lord himself said, look, you know, this, you know, Isaiah 66 verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And where is the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? But listen to the next thing he says after that. All these things have my hands made and all those things have been. But, he said, to this man will I look. So, he's looking. trying to find somebody, trying to find a place of his rest. Where's God's dwelling place? Well, it is in the manner that is of a contrite spirit and trembles at his word. Glory to God. If you are one that trembles at his word and keeps his word, see, we're not only doers, we are keepers, guardians of his word. That's what it means. Keep that word. We're guardians. I'll speak more about that someday. You know, and that then Jesus said, I'm coming after you. Glory to God. And I say to people, I say, there's a line that you must cross in your life of worship. When you cross that line, he's coming after you. At first, you are the one that's going after him. Gets to a point, he's the one that's coming after you. Glory to God. And you get to that point. He said, I will come to you. I will make my abode with you. My Father and I. Hallelujah. Because he has found somebody. Glory to God. Well, that somebody be you. It won't be though if all our relationship is about Father, give me this, Father, give me that, Father, do this for me, Father, do that for me. All those things Jesus said, you know, God, your heavenly Father knows you have need of those things. Concentrate on him and love the Lord thy God with all your heart. You know, choose him as your chief joy. Hallelujah. And you'll see what he'll do for you. He already knows you have need of those things. Those are not even things that we should, you know, spend a whole lot of time praying about. Just say, hey, Lord, I thank you for it. And then just go about your business. He will provide your needs. My God shall supply, Philippians 4:19, all your needs. Not according to your job, not according to your bank account, not according to what you have or don't have, but according to his riches in glory. Did you know that Jesus, you know, wasn't rich in worldly goods, but he owned everything. In fact, 2 Corinthians 8:9 tells us, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was the owner of everything, yet he became poor. He was rich. He owned everything all. Cattle on 1,000 hills, everything belongs to him. But he became poor for your sakes, that you, through his, you know, this exchange, you might become rich in him. Jesus didn't care about those things too much. Wasn't caring. In fact, one time I told disciples, you carry no script, no purse, you know, just go, you know. The laborer is worthy of his hire. You know, wherever you go, God will take care of you. Don't worry about it. But we worry about it too much. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. I mean, he's the Son of God after all. Look, none of these things bother him, you know. It's a true life of worship. That's the way it is, you know. Hey, he needs to pay his taxes, you know. Jesus didn't need to pay any taxes. He asked, you know, who should pay taxes? The free or the bondsman? I said, well, the bondsman. I said, well, you know, we the children, then we are free. But nevertheless, so we don't make them angry. You go pay the taxes. Pay for me and you. Well, Peter said, well, but I don't have any money. Jesus said, you do. There is a silver coin in the lake and there are a lot of fish waiting to get it, to give it to you. But the first fish that you open up, you'll find it inside. He doesn't need to carry the money. It doesn't matter. You know, thousands of people there to feed. No food. No problem. What do you guys have? He already knew within himself what he's going to do. He said, well, we only have one little boy's lunch. No problem. Put it in the hands of the master. You know, this is the way of worship. This is the way that Jesus wants us to be. You know, He blesses it, puts it back in the hands of the disciples, and walks away. It's done. That's it. And the disciples are thinking, what am I going to do with this thing? You know, just a little piece of bread in my hand. But Jesus said, sit them down in companies and give it to them. 50, 50, 50, 50, 50. You got to keep believing. After the first 50, believe for the next one, and so on. And yeah. And as they were doing it, they found out the thing was multiplying in their hands, not in the hands of Jesus, in the hands of Peter, you know, James, John, Andrew, the rest of them. Food was just multiplying in their hands. That's how he does it. You know, Son of God, a life of worship, no problem. One time he needs to go somewhere, you know, disciples left him behind, boat has left the station, no problem. I'll just walk on the water and catch up with them. Praise the Lord. That's a life of worship. Yeah, you know, look, we need to get to that point. And God is bringing us to that point. And we get to the point, it doesn't matter. Your father is always with you. You know, I'm going to the other side. Storm is coming, blasting against the boat and everything. No problem. I'm just going to go and sleep. A life of worship. You know, he knew the storm wasn't going to bother him. It didn't matter if the water was rushing into the boat or not. He's just going to sleep through it. A life of worship. He's so connected with the Father that he knows that none of these things can touch him. You know? And so, but the others who hadn't learned it, panicked. Yeah. So, for their sakes, not for Jesus' sake, but for their sakes, he had to rebuke the storm. Had no intention of doing that at all. And the storm does the thing. I'm a worshiper. I'm connected with the Father. None of these things bother me at all. Praise God. And furthermore, a real worshiper will learn the attributes of the Father. And we grow into those attributes. As you adore him, what you see in him, what you love, what you adore, is what you become. And finally, you figure out how to sleep through the storm yourself. You figure out how to do these things. You figure out how to cause bread to multiply. Because you've been with him so long, it rubs off on you. Praise God. And Jesus gave them some practice. He said, well, you know, here's what I'm going to do. You know, here's some real life practice for you. I'm going to take you, put you in twos, two by twos, and then you go into every city and village where I will come. You go, but you go ahead. And I said, well, you know, when you go there, do these things. Just do them. We didn't tell them to pray. He just said, do it. Just go there, you know, heal the sick. Yeah, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, raise the dead. Yeah, do all these things. Just do it, because I gave you the power. So we'll come to the point, you know, where a true life of worship will figure it out eventually. The devil doesn't want you to figure it out. If you figure it out how to be a true worshiper, it's game over for the devil. So he doesn't want that, you know. So when you figure it out, Jesus said himself, so did not the scripture in Psalm 82 say that ye are gods? You know, well, and he said that, and that scripture cannot be broken. Can't be broken. You say, wow, you know, how can we be God? That's sacrilege. No, the scripture said it, and the scripture cannot be broken. And what makes you like that? Because you are made of the stock of God. You are God kind. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. You are made in the image of God, like God. That's what likeness means. You are God kind. God kind? Wow. So does that mean? Well, all it means is you come into a life of worship. Align yourself, worship the Lord, and those attributes will begin to flow through. Hallelujah. He said, oh, yeah. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself. He's not doing it. He said, the Father that lives in me, he does the works. He said, oh, really? Yeah. That's it. You know, in fact, one time when they were wondering who he was, so well, if you don't know and don't believe and understand that the Father is in me and I in him, then believe for the work's sakes. But I'm not the one doing it. He's the one that's doing it in me. Praise the Lord. The life of worship comes into union with the Father through this Spirit. You know, one with him. Jesus said, you in me, I in you. John chapter 15 and 7. When you get to that point, when you are unified with the Lord through the Spirit, you abide in me, my words abide in you, you in me, I in you, then you can do anything. You can ask anything and it shall be done, because at that point your mind is cultured to be like Christ. You're not going to be asking something that's outside God's will. You're already cultured. Cultured. You will only seek the will of the Father from that point. You won't be asking to consume it upon your own greed or upon your own lust, like James said. But you will be asking for the will of the Father. Thy will be done in earth. That'll be your prayer always, as it is in heaven. Well, what is it that's done in heaven? Well, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come, and they cease not day and night to say those things. Well, you know, that's the life that we must be in. Let's not cease day and night worship. You can sing if you want to, but it's way beyond that. It's your very life. The very life that we live. Praise God. Here's how Paul put it in Acts chapter 24 and verse 24. He said, well, when you do these things, people may not even understand you. When you're a life of a worshiper, some people may even call it, heresy. He said, well, but this I confess unto you, talking to Felix, the governor. He said, I confess this to you, that after the way that people call heresy, so worship I God of my Father. It's a way of life. It's not that every day is, you know, on his face worshiping. Some people actually think that that's the only way that you can worship, is you got to fall down on your face. Well, that's part of it. But it's a way of life. That's what Paul is saying here. This is my way of life. This is how I worship the God of my fathers after the way that is called heresy. So it's a way of life. So worship is a way of life, according to this verse right here. Believing in all things which are written in the law and the prophets. Now, if you don't believe all things that are in this word, your way of life or worship of the Father will be incomplete. So Paul summarizes it here. You know, the way in which I live my life is called worship, he said. And he said, what do? I believe all things are written in the Word of God. All things. Well, all things means also you are as sons of God. That's right. You believe that as well. You know, people really can't believe that. Well, it's either they don't understand it, or they don't want to believe it, or the devil blinds our eyes so that we can't understand it or believe it. But you better believe it. You are the sons of God. Unless the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you. But if he dwells in you, you are the son of God. Then behave like the son of God. Do like Christ did. Praise God. Put away childish things. That's what Paul said. You know, as a child, you know. You were doing childish things. That's not necessarily sinful. It was just a child doing childish things. You know, now I'm no longer a child. I'm a grown man. So I put away those childish things. Now I know who I am. Who are you then? Well, you know, I am a son of God. And if you be sons, then, you know, the Spirit of Christ is inside of you crying, Abba, Father. There's a relationship there. And that makes you joint heir with Christ. Joint heir? Well, absolutely. Didn't Jesus say it himself? John 17, he said, all that I have given to them as well, that they may be one, even as we are one. The glory I had with you from the beginning, I have given to them. Praise God. Well, if he gave it to us, well, let's walk in the glory then. Well, how do we walk in the glory? Is it that we've got our chest out, we've got our elbows vaunted, and then we go about saying, so? No, it's a life of worship. That's all that Jesus did. Jesus gave the whole credit to the Father. That I can do nothing of myself. John 5 and 39. Same way we say, well, I can't do nothing of myself. My doctrine is not my own, but he that sent me. Praise God. When you live in a true life of worship, you are the perfect ambassador like Jesus. Represent the Father. Glory to God. And that's all he did. Amen. You know, and everything he did pleased the Father. In fact, you know, the Father, when Jesus was ready and he came out to be baptized, the Father stuck out his chest. That's my boy. Hallelujah. In whom I am well pleased. At that time, we've never heard that Jesus did any miracle. He hadn't walked on water. He hadn't done a miracle. He hadn't raised the dead. I did some things around the house with Mary and Joseph, but were kept from us. We don't know. So, it wasn't the miracles that the Father was proud of. It was because it looked like the Father. 30 years, the Father was looking at him, you know, and he grew up. He was talking like the Father, looking like the Father, acting like the Father, you know, learning patience like the Father. Had to deal with Mary. Had to deal with Joseph. Had to deal with everybody who called him carpenter son. All right, it's all good. You know, he learned all those things. And now he's ready. He steps up. He said, well, I can't baptize you. I need to be baptized. He said, let's fulfill all righteousness. He humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. That's a life of worship. He wasn't grabbing at anything. Didn't try to be anything. He just made himself. In fact, they call him son of God. He said, no, I'm son of man. But he knew who he was. And God said, yeah, you're ready. And God exalted him, highly exalted him. And now, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Now, I want to also enter in a life of worship daily. You know, be cognizant of it. Intentional in our life of worship. Don't let the distractions, the challenges, stuff that the devil throw at you, everything, and even the kitchen sink too. Throw everything at you in your house, in your family, on your job, and this and that, and so on and so forth. You know, those things are distractions. Separate that from your worshiper. The worshiper. Live in this life of worship. And if you know how to do it, actually, you know, fewer of those things will hit you. Praise God. Yeah, sometimes those things hit us by cheap shot or whatever, but Bible says you take on the shield of faith. It's around you all the time. And, you know, those things will just bounce off. Throw all those fiery darts and so forth, but, you know, you just bounce off of the shield of faith. There's this aura that's around you. That's the presence of the Lord. So there's a place where I love to dwell. It's the presence of my Father. You know, well, that presence is with you. It's like you're walking in a bubble. And Adam was like that at the beginning. It was always around him. The bubble was there, you know. And he didn't even know that he was naked. And he was not naked. Because the glory of God covered him, you know, until iniquity was found in their hearts. And then they lost the bubble. Bust the bubble. And there now we're still struggling to get back. But struggle no more. Jesus said, it is finished. I've purchased the way back. Hallelujah. back to what Adam lost. We can have it now, a life of worship. I'm going to pray over the room today, and I'm going to say, Lord, and I want you to do that too, you know, make me a true worshiper. You know, there's nothing that God cannot do. Anything that we ask of him, so if you ask, I will do it. Well, then ask now. Ask that I want to be a true life of worshiper, you know. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. If that's what the Lord is looking for, I'm sure he's not looking for it 1 hour on Sunday morning only. If he's looking for true worshiper, it's a way of worship. That's how I worship the God of my fathers. The way, they call it heresy, but it's my way of life. Worship the God of my fathers. My life altogether. Lord, I pray for everyone that's here with us to experience and enter into a new and living way. Hallelujah. A new and living way. A life of worship and a life of faith. Not just on Sundays, but that's our way of life. Praise the Lord. I pray, Lord, as we are called to this priesthood, 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, we are called into a royal priesthood. Now, this priesthood, that those that serve the Lord with a life of worship. He said, royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, you know, that God has called out of darkness to his marvelous light to show forth the praises of God. That's a way of worship, this new priesthood. Praise the Lord. I pray that God will help us to renew our minds daily. Be not conformed, the Bible says, to this world. Don't let the things of the world that are around you derail you from the life of worship. But be renewed and transformed by your mind. Renewing of your mind. Transform daily. And come into that day of life of worship every day. Praise God. And stay right there with him. Don't go in and out. If we can figure that out, then we are called overcomers. Praise the Lord. I pray that everyone here today will understand this. Jesus said, Do you now understand these things? And they said, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. We understand. Help thou our lack of understanding. Give us understanding, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light. And it gives understanding. But spoken your word today, let it bring understanding to the heart of the people. Make us, O Lord, true worshipers. Be found of you. You are looking, I will be found of you as true worshipers. Take my life, Lord, and let it be a life of true worship, that I will not be disengaged from my life of worship by whatever is happening around me, but I stay engaged in the spirit. Praise the Lord. We love you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.